Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. For May 15th, 2022, I'm Blaise Olson, your host on News Talk 830 WCCO. Well, the Republicans endorsed four candidates for statewide office this weekend at the Rochester Civic Center in Rochester. I was there. I watched it and kind of started to understand the dynamics within the party. You know, the party has been through many years of kind of tumult. They haven't won statewide in a long time. And obviously, national political environment, they feel like this is their best year to win in Minnesota. And if that's the case, then the candidates who they nominate and endorse will matter. You know, we watch these races and, you know, we are about 177 days away from Election Day. And there's a lot that's going to happen between now and then. You know, I'm not convinced that mainstream Minnesotans are paying attention to the politics of it. I'm not convinced that they're engaged. I think they're paying attention to issues like public safety, like Roe v. Wade, like education, like the latest COVID wave. But I don't think they're watching candidates yet. And I think we all have to be reminded of that. You know, if you listen to this show, you probably follow things closer. I'd be curious to see what your neighbors are following, if they're talking about it. Because we all live in these bubbles, and there's no bigger bubble than a political convention. And we saw one this weekend, and we'll see one next weekend when the DFL meets. And so my goal is to take you inside the bubble, but then try to connect it with perspectives from outside the bubble. This week, I'll give some brief analysis, and then we'll sit down with the Republican-endorsed candidate, Scott Jensen, and his running mate, Matt Burke. We'll talk to David Hahn, the Republican Party chairman, about a convention that went very smooth for a party that just, I don't know, 6-7 months ago, people really questioned whether or not it was formidable, if it had resources, or if any candidates would trust the endorsement process. I'm Blaise Olson. When we come back, my take and timeline on what happened this weekend. You're listening to Sunday Take on News Talk 830. WCCO.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, political conventions, if you haven't been to one, are energetic. They're fascinating. And of course, you've seen pictures and you've watched speeches at national conventions. But in a state convention, the relationships are deep. Candidates are really playing, you know, kind of very personal politics in trying to appeal to delegates. And we saw that in Rochester this weekend. And let's just start out by, you know, acknowledging that on Friday, Republicans endorsed Ryan Wilson. He was unopposed. He'll be their endorsed candidate for auditor. They endorsed Kim Crockett for Secretary of State. They endorsed Jim Schultz in the race for Attorney General. And in each one of those races, we sit back and we watch the delegates. And what are they looking at? I want to call out the Secretary of State's race because Kim Crockett has been invited to be on the show. I hope she's on the show. She was at the convention, said she was too tired to do the show this weekend. But one of the underlying themes of Republicans post-2020 has been election integrity, stealing the election, things like that, and this kind of deterioration. And my gut is that most Minnesotans trust Minnesota elections, and they're not going to buy conspiracy theories. But we're going to find out. And Democrats are going to make their own case with their own candidate and Steve Simon in the Secretary of State's race. But I look at that kind of like a shiny object issue. I think that trends and waves and feelings will be about candidates and issues. But it'll be fascinating because I think we will have a more robust race for Secretary of State than we've had for a long time. And that becomes the basis of all the other campaigns. Because do you trust the Secretary of State? Do you trust the process? Look, we've never been more polarized. We've never been more partisan. But there's just a fundamental piece that concerns me about this kind of erosion of trust in elections. I haven't seen convincing data. I've seen small cases. I've seen small numbers. And so just remind yourselves of that as we go forward. You know, one of the other things before we get to the dynamics of the governor's race was the attorney general's race. Doug Wardlow had been the nominee a couple times before. He lost to Keith Ellison in 2018. And electability for Republicans became a theme of this convention. And it was no more evident than it was in the attorney general's race. And it was clear that Jim Schultz had a strategy to defeat Doug Wardlow. Doug Wardlow initially said he will not run in a primary as of to this morning. He's saying he's thinking about it. He appeared with Mike Lindell at the convention, but Mike Lindell said that even at a convention, they shouldn't have any electric balloting devices. He said paper ballots for everything. And I just feel, again, like that was the wrong issue for that race, and the delegates knew it, where it was the right issue in the Secretary of State's race. But Jim Schultz, the Republican-endorsed candidate, outmaneuvered Doug Wardlow for the endorsement. And he did it by being an activist, by meeting delegates. And, you know, if there is one statewide race that Republicans feel like they can't lose this time, it's for attorney general. And I think that's telling. And I think it's telling that that race will hinge on things like the Kim Potter prosecution by Keith Ellison in the attorney general's office, the shutting down of businesses and the role of the attorney general. I think that that will set a tone that underlies the governor's race. And so let's get to the governor's race. Look, this was a very competitive race. All five candidates could have made it multiple, three ballots. Paul Gazelka pulled out first. He moved his support to Kendall Qualls. He was joined by Senator Michelle Benson, a former gubernatorial candidate. And that gave Qualls a huge boost. But then over the next three or four ballots, Mike Murphy, the mayor of Lexington, and Neil Shaw cut a deal where Shaw endorsed Murphy. Then that gave Murphy a big advantage. And the attacks started, and they were feverish. Shaw attacked Jensen and Qualls. Murphy attacked them. Qualls attacked Jensen. And there seemed to be a point in the convention where Kendall Qualls had serious momentum. And then in something you have never seen before, or I've never seen before, where Mike Murphy basically was going to be, quote, the kingmaker, because he had enough delegates to stick around, but then he fell under a 20% threshold. And Qualls, Kendall Qualls, and Scott Jensen were very close on that ballot. And so Murphy made the decision that he endorsed Jensen, and then Jensen got to 59%. And then one of the things that he said when accepting Jensen's endorsement was that Kendall Qualls had offered him the lieutenant governor job and then pulled it back. Murphy then produced texts that could be taken 17 different ways about this conversation amongst political operatives. And in that time, Jensen then sunk. And then on the final ballot, the ninth ballot, Jensen won. It was 65%. And instead of conceding, Kendall Qualls left the arena. So there's still a chance that there's a Republican primary. But by history's purpose, the Republican-endorsed candidate, now Scott Jensen, who we'll talk to later in the show, wins vast majority of the time. That said, there's still a chance Kendall Qualls jumps in. And Rich Stanek, who did not appear at the convention because of injuries sustained in a car accident, Stanek didn't appear and could still go to primary. So I think the Qualls folks and the Stanek folks, they're probably talking, and they're deciding whether or not they're going to challenge Scott Jensen. But for all intents and purposes, as he has been most of the race, Scott Jensen is the Republican frontrunner, if not, you know, the pretty clear favorite to face Tim Walz. And we'll obviously cover it here on CCO. But the inter-party dynamics are big, and they are real. And they are, in a way, just a speck of what Minnesota's thinking. And so on Sunday Take, over the next few months, we're going to focus on what Minnesotans are thinking. I'm Blaise Olson. When we come back, Republican Chairman David Hand on the election, the convention, and whether or not the Republican Party is kind of stabilized its financial position. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thanks for joining us this morning on Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson. We are checking in after the Republican State Convention with Party Chairman David Han. Chairman, other than registration, it seemed like the convention went pretty smooth, despite all kinds of social media rumors about paper ballots and rules fights and battles. You've been through a lot of these conventions. It's your first one as chairman. What was your goal?
Our goal was to end up with four endorsed candidates and get done in the short time frame that we had available to us. And we had a few other items of business that we wanted to accomplish. And frankly, at the end of the day, everything that we hoped to accomplish, we did get done. So we're really happy with the result.
One of the challenges for the Republican Party in Minnesota obviously hasn't won statewide for a number of years. You inherited a party that didn't have a lot of money in the bank.
Right.
But there was a lot of energy here. Are you comfortable, confident that you're going to have, as a party, the resources to be competitive this year?
Yes, we are very happy with where we are financially. You're right, we came into this last fall with very little money in the bank and lots of concern about where the party was at. But we began to raise money, and we've been very successful to this point. It does help when you have endorsed candidates that we can focus on, so that it will be helpful as well. But we've raised about $2 million since I became chairman, which is a good start. Not where we want to end up, but it's we're a good chunk of the way of where we need to be. So we think we're going to be able to continue to do that, especially if we've got good endorsed candidates, which we do.
There's a lot of, insiders, people who follow things closely, delegates, activists on both sides that oftentimes look backwards at issues. And in one of the issues that's here is election integrity. A lot of people want to talk about the 2020 election, or they want to talk about election integrity this year. You've been on the ballot as a state senator in Minnesota.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on Minnesota and how much integrity our current election system in Minnesota has?
Well, election integrity is important. I think it's important to everybody. Part of the dissatisfaction I think many of our delegates and activists have is that much of what we have in election law was frankly authored by Democrats and administered by Democrats. So that creates a little bit of a concern when people have a close election that doesn't go the way they want it to go. So I think it's a little frustrating, in my opinion, that Democrats are so unwilling to understand that maybe there's some need for a little more security, I guess, in some of the procedures. So we're not looking behind. We're looking ahead. We've done a great job of recruiting election judges and ballot board volunteers, and we're going to have those fully staffed to the extent that the Secretary of State permits that. But we think there does have to be some change in law going forward. And I think given that we're going to elect, in my opinion, majorities in the House and the Senate and have a governor who will sign the bills, we expect that we're going to be working on those issues next year.
You came out with four endorsed candidates. There's two candidates, one who left the convention without saying anything, Kendall Qualls. One, Doug Wardlow, who indicated he wouldn't go to a primary, and now he's posted on social media that he's considering going to a primary. Will you have conversations with them this week? Will you try to unify the party behind the scenes?
Well, I know all the people running and all the races. They're all great people. They've all put in a lot, as you can imagine, into this effort. And I've been through this, too, and I've been a candidate and I haven't won. I've been a candidate and I have won. So I know both sides of this thing, and it's never, never a happy feeling. If you put that much time, effort, and work into something as important as this, you just don't come out on top. So it's a little raw, I'm sure, right now, and might take a couple of days to kind of let things settle down a little bit. But I expect I'll be talking to all our candidates and all the people who ran in the next few days.
When you sit back and think about your experience in the Republican Party and where we are in 2022 in Minnesota, how do you characterize what you believe the Republican opportunity is this year.
I think it's the best opportunity that I've seen the Republicans have in my lifetime, frankly. We are in a great position. We have political wins nationally and statewide with us. We have good candidates. We have resources. We've got a very energized base. We have a whole lot of new people that have come into the party. The delegates here today, remarkably, the majority of them were first-time state delegates. That's interesting, and I don't think it's ever happened before, to my knowledge. So we feel we're in a very good position to have those majorities in the Minnesota House and Senate and elect a governor and be a governing party in Minnesota. And we are working very hard to do that. We think we're going to get there.
Chairman David Hand, thanks for joining me on Sunday Tech.
Well, thanks for having me.
When we come back, we sit down with Dr. Scott Jensen and Matt Burke, the Republican-endorsed candidates, to hear where they are on key issues and anything that's going to change on their campaign. I'm Blaise Olson, and this is Sunday Take. We'll be right back. We're here on Sunday Take with the Republican-endorsed ticket, Dr. Scott Jensen and Matt Burke. And we are recording this just after the convention, but you're hearing it on Sunday morning. So grab your cup of coffee, and we're going to dig in. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Jensen. You know, you and I have known each other since you got elected to the Senate. And I tell this story when people ask me about candidates and about you. And I say, he asked me to have coffee with him because some people he trusted told him that he could never trust me, and that some people he trusted told him he had to trust me all the time. And you said, well, I better figure this out on my own. As you went through this process with delegates, some of whom were very skeptical of you, is that the way you work? Is that the way this process worked? Because people who are listening to this didn't watch the 10 hours we were here today. They're just hearing the results. So why do you think you guys were victorious?
The whole process is grinding. It's arduous, without question. I mean, I've been running for 15 months, and Matt and Adriana Burke have been involved for a year plus, and Matt's been on board as lieutenant governor for 3 months or so. So I think for the person who doesn't know what happened here, there is a tremendous amount of 30 seconds to 2 minute conversations trying to convince people that you're their person, that you pass the muster, you pass a purity test, that while the person they're supporting right now is creditable, you think they should come to you. And so you have a lot of that going on all day, and you have the highs and the lows, and people move and shift, and you see that you're in front after the first ballot, and then the second ballot unrolls. And I mean, it really seemed to me almost like an athletic event where the highs and the lows, and the team was up and the team was down. And I think Matt, during the course of the day, made comments to that point where he'd tell me we were in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, because we knew it was going to be a slog, and it was. In terms of the whole process going back literally a year, it's a big challenge to try to meet the delegates, because first you don't know who the delegates are. You don't find that out. And you don't find it out on February 1st. You have to wait until literally March, and then you got 6-8 weeks, and by then you're just absolutely swamped with convention. So, yeah, it's an arduous task. I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we won. But I just want to do a call out to all my opponents. I think everybody worked so hard, and we had so much similarity on the basic issues that I really appreciate having had the chance to have my opponents make me better.
Matt, this is your first convention, you said. You are new to this process. Last time you were on the show, you weren't a candidate for lieutenant governor. What changed for you to think that you wanted to put your name on the ballot? Because I know you thought about putting your name down as governor before you joined the Jensen
Committee. Yeah, a brief exploration into maybe running for governor. But I'm new to all this, and I knew that wasn't right. And then following Scott Jensen around for a year, I saw with my eyes, I saw what his events were like, the numbers that he was drawing, and the people who were just like me, who had never been involved politically before. And I thought, man, something's going on here. And then as I got to know Scott, and my wife Adriana and I would spend more time with Scott and Mary, you know, Scott's the kind of person I like to associate with, someone who's a high character, who's an unapologetic Christian, who's a husband, who's a father, you know, those kind of people make me better. And so when he asked me to run for lieutenant governor, you know, I'd already kind of been convinced, if you will, that Scott's campaign was real, but more importantly, that he was real.
Okay. In the last few weeks, the Supreme Court's leaked decision on Roe v. Wade came out. You're both pro-life. This, I think, changes some of the dynamics of the entire election for voters. How does that issue, if you're elected, change when Minnesota has a precedent? And what do you tell people who are pro-choice, even if they're Republican pro-choice or conservative pro-choice, and they feel like that issue, it's the here and now issue of today?
I think we've been clear. We're pro-life. We don't see it as a question of choice as much as we see it as a life. And I would like to think that we'll work through the process. In Minnesota, we have some challenges just because the Supreme Court's gotten involved. Sometimes I think people think that there's something magical about Roe v. Wade. That was almost 50 years ago. The technology and the capability in medicine for us to provide virtually instantaneous birth control has grown immensely. I take care of patients that have had abortions and just they've maybe moved from other states, and it weighs on them. I think we've got to do better to prevent the unwanted pregnancy. But once we've got a life, I think we judge a society on how do we deal with life. And I understand that people don't necessarily agree with me, Blyce, but I see it as a life. And so that's where everything else spreads from.
I'm on Sunday Take. I'm with Dr. Scott Jensen and Matt Burke. They're the Republican-endorsed candidates. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think from my viewpoint, I think everybody knows that I'm unapologetically pro-life. I think they know what I did in 2013 when I turned down an invitation to the White House with then-President Obama because of his stance on abortion and saying God bless Planned Parenthood. I would say this. With looks like Roe v. Wade being overturned, this allows us to have a discussion. And Scott has always said, we want to drive discussions. I think for a long time, this has just been seen as a political issue. And there are some issues that I think you could just say they're political issues, you know, taxes, regulation, things like that. But this is different. I mean, we are talking about life, and it's obviously very emotional. So I think this helps us, everybody, restart the conversation on abortion. And, you know, ultimately, you know, let's let the people of Minnesota decide, because it's been 49 years. And now there's a chance for Minnesota to decide for itself how they want to treat and view life in the womb.
Dr. Jensen, one of the things that you've said in the last couple of weeks that, you know, has raised a lot of eyebrows was the potential to lock Steve Simon up, the current Secretary of State. Election integrity is a big issue. It was a big issue at this, you know, convention. Is that rhetoric? Is that real? Where are you at on how you would look at, you know, Secretary of State Steve Simon? Because there's a chance that he wins and he's still the Secretary of State and you're the governor.
Thanks for the question. I think it's important to be accurate. And if you actually look at the original quote in the Star Tribune, what it said was that I felt that Steve Simon had been getting away with way too much for way too long under Ellison, and that he better, it might have, I said he maybe should take a look at him, at how he looks in stripes. So that was the comment. And I would say this. Steve Simon and I worked fine together when I was in the Senate. I think that Steve Simon has done everything he can to do what he wants and fulfill his agenda in regards to elections. In 2020, we worked very diligently, the legislature and Steve Simon, and Mary Kiffmeyer carried the water for the Senate. And we got to a compromise bill, and that was passed. But some of the things that Steve didn't get through the legislature, he then, once we adjourned, went after and was able to get this consent decree in the courts. And then the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals smacked it down. So I think you could say, well, did Steve Simon uphold his oath of office in terms of operationalizing our elections? Or did he go over the line and decide that he was going to determine the rules for the elections rather than the legislature? And if you look at our Constitution, it's the legislature that gets to determine how our elections are conducted, and it's the Secretary of State that's supposed to operationalize that. So I'm just telling Steve Simon, and I tell to anybody, I mean, gee whiz, look at the national. They're always trying to say to President Trump, we're going to hold you accountable there. I mean, if someone's a public servant and they violate the oath of office, I just want them to know accountability will be sought after.
But don't you think, I mean, the accountability of the election, the re-election, the campaign can decide that? Are you talking about that you'd support some sort of further prosecution on Steve Simon?
No, what I'm talking about is some sort of an audit. Let's find out. Let's do a FOIA. Okay. Let's see the emails. Boys, I think it's hard for people to realize, perhaps hard particularly for the hard left, to realize how intensely personal this issue is across Minnesota. I mean, this isn't a conversation topic. This is the question that comes up virtually everywhere I go. People are just frustrated. It's all, you know, they want to be able to trust our elections in November, but they just don't have it there. And these are not conspiracy wackos. These are normal people like you and I. And they're just beside themselves that they don't know if we really will be at that spot where we'll have elections that we can trust. We used to have them. But again, this isn't really a partisan issue. Go back to 2000, the Democrats were upset. 2004, the Democrats were upset. 2016, the Democrats were upset. 2000, the Republicans are upset. Why don't we just fix it? Why don't we do something like other reasonable places would be? And then you want to know, what's the reasonable place? That's Europe. 46 out of 47 countries use photo ID. Why can't we have that conversation?
I think that's a good point, and I have no doubt we're going to have the photo ID conversation. Let's pivot ahead. You launch from here on, you know, to the statewide campaign where Minnesotans will start paying attention. What are the top three issues that you think are going to force or get Minnesotans to change their mind on Tim Walz?
I first thought you were going to ask what the top three issues are going to be, but you actually said you want the top three issues in terms of Tim Walz.
Yeah.
And I think there, I think it's going to be leadership in terms of him freezing up a little bit. And I think it's going to be whether or not he was really able to work with people who are not like-minded with him. I would say that many people would consider the One Minnesota moniker a bit of a joke. And then I think the third thing is, I think Minnesotans are asking themselves the question, what does my life look like today compared to before Tim Walz? So I think those will be three big issues, leadership, and I think how does life look today? Those kinds of things I think are going to drive the discussion.
Got it. Matt, are you in full-time campaigning now through November?
I'm 100% full-time. I really don't part-time anything. And I'm doing it because, you know, I owe it to Scott and the campaign and all of our supporters and the people of Minnesota. But I also believe in it. I believe in what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I believe in this movement that Scott has spearheaded, that he and the team have built. You know, I'll give you evidence that today I don't know which ballot it was. I can't keep track, but it was basically a dead heat, a three-way tie. And someone asked if we were worried. I said, I'm not worried because I know. I've been doing this full time for 3 months now. I know how deep our supporters, how deep their support goes. And so, you know, we started something. Scott started something. I was fortunate enough to come on board, and we owe it to the people of Minnesota to see it through. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of all I know is just to go straight ahead and full speed. And, you know, November 8th, we'll see what the results are.
I thought it was pretty interesting, too, Matt, that you had talked about your family sort of getting on board. They're becoming more political.
Yeah, well, they have to be now. Because it's, you know, it has sort of taken over my professional life to a certain extent. And I will say this too, and I meant it when I said it up there, man, it's a strain on the families. I mean, it is. You know, running for office is a full-time job, and unfortunately it's a lot of nights and you do a lot of stuff, and I've learned a lot in the process. I'm glad I didn't know quite the commitment before I said yes. My wife's been unbelievable, my kids as well, and yeah, they're getting into it, and we, you know, I've taken them on a few journeys, you know, and they've turned out all right.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful that they're willing to go on this one with me.
The last question is really about the economy, the business environment, the dynamics there. What we've talked a lot about, kind of these hot button issues, but ultimately, you know, Minnesota has been economically successful over the years. What do you think Minnesotans are looking for in a governor for jobs and business in Minnesota?
Yeah, I wouldn't totally agree that says Minnesota has been economically, I don't know what the word
successful.
You used, successful. Sure, we've got a great foundation there. I mean, we have a well-developed, diverse business community. But the state GDP has grown at a slower rate than the national GDP for the last 20 years, and significantly so. We have an historic erosion of the workforce. That's why you see this low unemployment rate. That doesn't tell the whole story. And, you know, quite frankly, we have too many highly skilled people leaving Minnesota for whatever reason. And that doesn't bode well. Scott and I have talked about creating an on-fire business culture in the Twin Cities. Even a lot of our big companies are looking to expand in other states because the culture, the taxes, and the regulations are just not friendly to business. And I think if you ask some of the younger voters, so those in their 20s and 30s, they haven't enjoyed that strong business success that sometimes we tout in the Twin Cities.
What happens when you guys disagree?
Oh, I
we
hope
arm wrestle.
Yeah, we arm wrestle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's over.
Quickly. Send me the video.
It'll be a short video. I think I look forward to disagreement because, you know, sort of like an athletic event, I always learn more when I lose. I mean, winning is fun, but I've played some golf tournaments where I should have won and I lost, and I definitely learn way more that way. So if Matt and I have a disagreement, I think that'll be good for us. Yeah. That's healthy. I'm a big Reagan believer when he says, you know, if you got someone you agree with 80% of the time, you don't have a 20% enemy. You got an ally. So, and Matt's a lot smarter than I in a lot of areas. And if you don't mind my saying, boys, I'd just like to say to your audience that I'm not interested in having a relationship with a governor, a lieutenant governor that's maybe been traditional. I'd like people to really know this is a partnership. And that's what I want it to be. And I really mean that. I have no interest in being, if you will, supervising Matt Burke. No way in the world. I mean, he's got expertise I don't have, and I've got some subject matter expertise he doesn't have. We're going to work it out and have fun. I mean, this is like a company. We're going to run it like a company. Yeah.
Two things I appreciate about Scott is, one, he's not afraid of hard conversations, and I'm not either. I mean, a lot of people are. I don't know if it's Minnesotans or people in general. They don't like uncomfortable conversations. It's okay. You know, you attack problems, not people. But the other thing I appreciate about Scott is, I think one of the first events we did together, I said, hey, what do you want me to talk about? What's messaging? He said, I'm never going to tell you what to say. And to me, that's I appreciate that. I appreciate Scott's faith in me. But to me, that's also, I think that's great leadership.
Great. Thanks for joining me on Sunday Take. I know we'll be seeing each other down the road in debates and forums. I'm Blaise Olson. You're listening to Sunday Take. When it's 9 o'clock on CCO Sunday morning, it's Sunday Take. Follow us this week at Morning Take on Twitter or go to fluence-newsletters.com to sign up for the Morning Take. Talk to you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.